I've entitled the message today, Above and Beyond. I'm going to stand on this side because I normally stand on that side. Above and Beyond. And you'll figure out why we're entitling it Above and Beyond. But I'd like to start with a question. And, I want to ask me some of the kids that are still around, the younger ones here. What do you think these pictures are about? Did you want to come over, Gregory, and take a look? Did some of you guys want Jenny? You want to come take a look? Nathan? Can you help me out here a little bit? All right, here we go. Tell me what these pictures are about. They don't say anything yet. See that one? Can you see this? Nathan, can you see this? Yeah? How about this one? Okay, if you know what you think the answer is, it's only one word. Well, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and say what you think that word is. Gregory. Sleepy. Okay, no. Close. Jenlyn, did you have a guess? Tired. Yes. These little babies are all tired. Someone was playing a little too hard. I don't know what. No idea. I don't know. Maybe it smelled really bad. Who knows? And working too hard. Tired. You know who was tired in this story? Jesus is probably tired. Who else is tired? Disciples are tired. Do you know why they were tired? Why were they tired? Nope, this is before the feeding. But you're on something there, because I would invite you to, if you have the Bible, read a little bit beforehand what happens. It's a little bit tricky though. It's a little tricky because it's not just in the passage beforehand. The poor passage right before this one is actually telling you something. It's a narrative that tells you something that doesn't happen in line chronologically. Although it's probably very, very much in the same time. So why are they tired? Something had happened before this. Anyone? This is the interactive part. It's not a rhetorical question. You have an idea? Why were they tired? Here. I'll let you guys. You guys can share. I have an extra copy in my head. Okay, close. Close.
Healing people, and
when?
Actually, it was like first.
Yes, that's right. If you go back before that passage, there's a passage about John the Baptist. But before that, what were they doing? Jesus had sent them out two by two, remember, to go and preach the gospel, to heal people, and to cast out demons. So they had just come back from a missions trip, so to speak. They'd been traveling around the region, and they had literally been healing people by the power of the Holy Spirit. They had literally been casting out demons, and they're back and going, they're like stoked, right? Because I'm sure they saw some really amazing things. They come back, and they've been away, we're not told exactly how long they've been away. But long enough where they gather around Jesus, we're told in the passage, that they began to tell him everything they had done and taught. They were doing what Jesus was doing. I got to tell you, when Diane and I, and you know, we talked about this, after we preach a sermon, you know how exhausted actually we are? Most pastors, you know, sometimes they have to go to a meeting, and a lot of times I had to go to meetings too after. It's the worst thing. Because after preaching, if you really preach, you've really poured yourself into stuff. It's really exhausting. But it's very exciting too, right? I love this and never trade for anything. But it's tiring. So they were super tired. Not only that, we don't do as many healings and casting out demons here. Unless you have that need, let us know. But they're tired. And they're back and they're excited and they're telling Jesus what's going on. But then they didn't even have time to talk a whole lot because someone here astutely had said, Grace, you said that they didn't have time to eat. So not only were they tired, there were so many people coming to Jesus still. They want to talk to Him. They said, Jesus, you know, all these things happened. I want to tell you. You're the one who sent us out. It's like, I want to give you a missions report because it's really exciting what we saw. We want to tell you. We're told that there's so many people, they didn't even have a moment to eat. So not only were they tired, they were hungry. So exhausted and hungry, doing good things, doing missions, doing preaching, doing casting out of demons. And so verse 31 tells us there were so many people, they didn't even have a chance to eat. So what did they do? What does the passage say that Jesus did about it? Anyone? It's in the passage. Shouldn't it be difficult? Go to a quiet place to get some rest. But where are they going to do this? Because they're surrounded by people. We know from all the passages before that the Jesus had become so popular, so well known, that he couldn't even get into a city. You remember that story about him going to someone's home and people just kept on going into the home and they had to dig a hole? You know, in the ceiling for those guys. Well, this is what happened. So what they did was they got in a boat. Yeah, great. This is actually the Sea of Galilee. I don't know if their boat was actually that big. It looks a little bigger than probably one of the fishing boats in their day. But they probably just sailed across to the other side. Right? Then he said, okay, let's get out of here. You know, Jesus said, oh, come on, guys. I know you need rest. I know we got to get things done. I want to talk to you. You know, some of you may have experienced difficulties that you want to, you know, get a heads up. So they cross the lake and they run into these people. Did they run into 500 people? This is 500 people. This is a picture of 500 people. Did they run into 500 people? No, they didn't. They ran into more than 500. They heard that Jesus was going to the other side, and someone figured out where he was going by the trajectory of the boat or something. I don't know. Maybe there's other boats following him. Who knows? The Bible didn't tell us. But it wasn't 500 people that greeted them. It wasn't 1,000 people that greeted them. It was over 5,000 people. This is a picture. There's less than 5,000 people in this picture. So this is, of course, this is in Paris. They're having this great dinner, so they're actually having a meeting here. But there's about 5,000 people here. They only have that tickets for that many people in this thing. But it's just a sea of people. And by our estimates and by some of the conversations of Bible scholars, there's more than 5,000. Because we are told that the term used for the number of people at the end of that passage is 5,000 men specifically. So if you think that men, women and children, which often also happens, you know, they would go too. It wasn't just all men. But for some reason they just counted the men. It would have been a lot more than just 5,000. So when we talk about the feeding of the 5,000, it could have been 10,000. It could have been 12,000. There might have been more women there or more children there than men. But they just counted the men because that was part of their practice. That's how things got counted. It was sad but true. But now here's the question I have. How do you think Jesus and the disciples felt? This is not rhetorical either. How do you think they felt? What were they? They were tired. They were hungry. They're saying, I need some quiet time. I need some downtime. I need to, you know, I need to just get away for a bit and get refueled. And what they're greeted by is not necessarily these people, because these people have food in front of them. These 5,000 plus are wanting to hear more messages from Jesus. They want more healing from Him. They want more demons cast out. So how do you think they felt? How would you feel? Overwhelmed. I mean, I'm overwhelmed looking at this picture. How else do you think they felt? How would you feel? You're trying to get away. Anyone? Elam, how would you feel? Exhausted. Yeah, absolutely. Anyone would feel a little upset? Curious? What was that?
Annoyed.
Oh yeah. It's like, come on, you just wrecked our vacation. You wrecked our retreat time. You know, I'm supposed to get away here. I'm supposed to have some quiet time. It's a little bit annoyed. I'm sure they were overwhelmed. They're going, what, again? What can we do about this? They're still tired, still hungry. But what does Jesus do? And why does he do it? Check the text. It's very clear why, what he did, and why he did it. Anyone? He had compassion on them. He felt for them. And specifically the text says he felt for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Have you ever thought about what that phrase might actually mean? What are sheep like without a shepherd? What happens to sheep without a shepherd? They get lost. They get mauled by other animals. They get eaten. And how does Jesus feel about that? He said, that's no good. You know, we prayed this morning about our world. Our world is a world of sheep without a shepherd. Our city is a city of sheep without a shepherd. And sometimes we feel like sheep without a shepherd, and we know exactly how that feels. But what Jesus feels when he sees people who are lost, when people are being preyed upon by others, when they're hopeless, when they're scrabbling, why do they come to Jesus? Because there's some hope there. Because they want to be healed. They want to be whole. That's why they walk all the way around the lake. That's why they swarm around him. And when he sees them, he doesn't see people who are just going to, you know, that he can write off. He literally sees them. And he has compassion on them. Do you know Jesus sees you right now? He knows how tired you are. He knows that you gave up a Sunday morning. And you keep on giving up Sunday mornings. You come to worship him because you know who he is. You know his power. You know about his healing. Or you've heard about it. But what do you see when you see other people outside this community? And what does it mean for you to see through Jesus' eyes? And to have compassion on your friends, your schoolmates, your clients, the people you work with, your colleagues. We're told that he taught all day. For the rest of that day, we don't know how long that would have been, the whole time, until it was late. And we know why he did it. And guess what? The disciples were really hungry now. They went across the lake. They're saying, okay, here's our chance to maybe get some lunch. They missed lunch. And they're into dinner. And it's like, okay, Jesus, I understand the compassion thing. You know, great. I understand that the demons have people. They're sheep without a shepherd. That's fantastic. But I am getting a little hungry. So this is why, if you read the text, they say what they say. This is why they do what they do. They come to him and they say, well, we'll read it for you. They say, this is a remote place. It's really late. You know, it starts pretty smooth, right? And then it gets into the real issue. Can you send the people away? You know, it's not like, oh, we're really concerned about the people. It's like, get rid of these people. I'm real tired. I'm really grumpy now. I get grumpy when I'm hungry. just read between the lines. Yeah, I get some confessions over there. Affirmation. I get ornery. You know, sometimes I really try to be like, okay, but I'm really not okay because something happens in my brain, some kind of lack of food thing, then it's like, I'm going to kill and eat. You know, I don't know, it's like some kind of barbarian thing. I want to eat really bad. And they say, send the people away so they can go to the countryside and the villages and they can buy themselves something to eat. Wow, that's pretty practical. Yeah, come on, it's dinner time. Send them away. And so, but look what Jesus tells them. I mean, it's insane. He says, you give them something to eat. So they say, what? How do you think they felt now? They're going, okay, yeah, Jesus, come on now, please. This is enough. I know you care for people, but how much do you care? How far do we have to go for these people? You know, we have to take care of ourselves. And you know what? There's some truth to that. There are boundaries that need to be observed. But then Jesus comes up with this insane response. I think he knows what's going on. He knows they're unhappy. So there's a reason why he says what he says. We're told in the Gospel of John that he said these things. And actually we're told in some other passages too, that he said these things to test them. He wanted to teach them and show them something. When God tests you, it's not to give you a hard time. That's not his goal. Although we might think it is. Come on, tired, hungry, grumpy. Are you giving me a hard time, Jesus? What do you mean you feed them? I don't get it. Well, we know their answer. They said, this is going to cost more than half a year's wages. I'm going to do a little calculation. Let's work this out. I should look this up. In 2010, the average income of one person in Canada was $32,100 after tax. So a big chunk gets taken, right? But that's the average of everyone who works. Which isn't so bad. But do you know how much a Happy Meal costs? What is that?
$5.99.
You're right. An average Happy Meal can cost anyone, if you get like just, you know, the cheapest one, it's about $4. The most expensive ones are about $6 to $7. So let's just be, you know, real conservative and say you're not eating a lot of Happy Meal. Pay for a kid. Happy Meal? Yeah. I haven't had a Happy Meal for years. But that's because I don't like them so much. But if you imagine feeding these 10,000 people, that's not a, you know, that's kind of an estimate. How much is that going to cost you? It's pretty simple, isn't it? It's going to cost you $50,000 to feed people just a Happy Meal. I don't like Happy Meals. It's not enough for me as an adult. So I thought I'd think about, you know, something that makes a little more sense to me. The cheapest meal that I would probably be willing to eat around is from where? What? What's the cheapest meal in town that's a pretty good deal?
Subway.
Subway? Church's Chicken? Oh, you know, you're making me hungry. Cheapest meal in town?
IKEA?
Yeah, IKEA's pretty close. Domino's? Mexican. Down the street. Anyone else? No, it's actually not any of those. What is that? I don't know. What? Oh, Bonds. Maybe. Hans? Bonds.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Costco hot dogs. They are cheaper than everything else. Is it $2.50 now?
Can I have a hot dog? $1.50.
Wow, that's dirt cheap. Well, last year it was still $2.
Yeah.
Right? But they brought it down. Like, I was like flabbergasted. You know, I went to Costco, and then you notice just the hot dogs are now $1.50. Are you nuts? Whoever brings their prices down? That is insane. But anyways, this one is still $2. Okay. And it's not a little hot dog that you get from Safeway, you know, that don't fit in the bun because the bun is like 10 times bigger. Or it's not those tiny buns. It's pretty big, you know. And honestly, so let me make a calculation here. Costco, let's say $2, okay? Even that's pretty good by most standards. If we had to feed 10,000 people, that'd be still $20,000. $20,000. Remember what the average is of someone's income. That means there's people below that number, and there's people above that number. Oh yeah, and there's tax too, I forgot. Whatever, HST still. So I'm sorry, I decided, you know, just sort of remove that. Now, most guys I know between the ages of 12, now I know it's 12 because he wants to eat two. Evan wants to eat two of these things now. And 37, or maybe even higher, will eat at least two hot dogs. So you're still an average of $30,000. That's an entire annual salary, you know, plus or minus. And this is assuming if the kids didn't have two, and the children, and the women didn't have two. I know people who can't have two. So here's this catch. Think about it. Did Jesus have Costco?
No.
No, he didn't have Costco. Didn't even have hot dogs, okay?
Did they have Coke?
They definitely did not have Coke. That's a good question, though. Very good question. No Coca-Cola, no hot dogs. They don't even have the simulated other cola drinks, okay? And at least Costco has all beef dogs, because being in Israel at that time, no pork. Okay, so good, at least good on Costco for our Jewish friends. This is what they had.
Whoa.
This is their average cheapo lunch. Maybe it probably costs a little bit more, but you know, it's on par. This is they didn't. Yeah, it was just flat bread. They found, this is what they would eat. This is regular. Basic lunch. Their response to Jesus is basically this. What you have asked us to do, okay, this is the point. The feeding of 5,000 or 10,000, to feed these people, what you're asking us to do, Jesus, when you say, you feed them, is impossible. It's just not possible. I don't have that much money. You know, am I carrying a bank on my back? They used coins. They used a denarius. It was pretty much one day's wage in that day. They would have needed a lot of denarius. That's a coin. I don't know if you've ever carried loonies. Can you imagine, you know, 50,000 loonies in your pocket? That's just insane. It's not possible. And I'm sure they're looking at Jesus like, why are you doing this to us? Why are you doing this to us? You sent us out. That was great. We had an exciting time. Now you're pushing us like over the edge. I'm tired. I'm hungry. Yes, it's great. Compassion is good. Sheep are the shepherd, the whole bit. I have compassion in my heart. But look, we told you, be practical, send these people at least to the towns. They can find some of, you know, this bread and fish stuff, and we'll be fine. But Jesus goes, you feed them. How would you feel? Not so good. It's like, you're confusing me, Jesus. So they're tired, hungry, grumpy, and Jesus asks them to do impossible. And so he says this to them. They say, this is impossible. He goes, well, see what you got. Guess what they came up with? Same thing that they would eat anyways. But it wasn't just this. They only had, this was all they had. 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish. I don't know why they only came up with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Maybe they just didn't, they weren't into it when Jesus said, look at what you have. Maybe they were being honest. Maybe this is all they had. But we also know this from the Gospel of John. This wasn't their lunch. The Gospel of John tells us that there was a little boy who had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the disciples bring him to Jesus and says, this little boy has 5 loaves and 2 fish. This was a little boy's lunch. It was his $5 happy meal. It was whatever mom or dad, probably mom or grandma, packed for them as they got swept up in the crowd. And I'll bet this, this kid was tired and hungry too. I don't know too many tired and hungry kids who would give up their lunch. If you are welcome to try. I know my kids, when we throw food on the table, it's like, ah! You know, it's like, so we've taught them manners now to sort of keep away, you know, to pray and stuff like this, but yeah, that's right. But this boy who is probably tired and hungry, swept up in the crowd, he gave his lunch. This boy gave everything that he had to eat to Jesus. I suppose he wanted to help. I don't know if he understood all the ins and outs of what Jesus was actually doing. But he gave what he had. And whatever the case was, whatever the reasoning is, he was willing to share what he had with Jesus. I don't think that lesson is lost on the disciples. Tired, hungry disciples. And we know what happens next, right? Hey, look at that. This is what they're coloring, or they finished coloring now. Maybe if you're about to. Yeah, there's all kinds of people in this crowd. Some of them don't deserve it. Some of them are there just to look. But here's what happens. You know what happens in the text. Jesus prays. He breaks the loaves into pieces. And he feeds every single man, woman, and child who was there until they were full. We're told in the text that they were satisfied. Not only that, they had 12 baskets of bread and fish left over. How do you think that little boy felt? Probably. All he had, he gave. And all he had was enough. Not only for himself, but Jesus did something with what he had, what little he had, what he was willing to give and sacrifice. Jesus took and multiplied it and fed everyone. How do you think the disciples felt? This is rhetorical. But you could answer if you like. How do you think they felt? Well, whatever they felt, I think these are some of my favorite feelings. These are my favorite feelings when Jesus does what he does, when God does what he does. I like these feelings. It's about being astonished by God. It's about being amazed by God, being delighted with God, being surprised by God. This is what it's like to actually live with God. It's not about feeling guilty. It's about being stunned almost all the time. It's about being delighted all the time. It's like going, I wonder what he's going to do next.
Yes.
This is what the Christian life is actually supposed to be like. Yes, there are down times. But it's because of the down times, because of the hurt times, because of the pain times, that when something happens, when we let God do what God does best, this is what happens. So, I'm going to leave you with a couple of questions. Was there ever a time you felt like one of the disciples?
Yeah.
Yeah? That what God was asking you is impossible? When you felt a little bit tired or grumpy or needy, and sometimes for very good and legitimate reasons, logical reasons. Maybe it was as simple as being nice to your brother or sister or mom or dad or even towards your child. Maybe you felt a little reluctant. Maybe a little bit annoyed. Have you ever felt like that? I want you to know that Jesus understands. He understood the disciples. He knew. And frankly, he probably felt the same way. He was probably completely exhausted. Because the disciples weren't the ones doing the teaching and healing at that point. He was. But he understood that they were getting a little bit, you know, or not a little bit, they were getting really hungry. And when he tests them, I don't think it was out of being mean, because he understood. He wanted to show them something. He wanted to show them a little boy. Another question to ask is, was there ever a time in your life that you felt like maybe how the little boy would feel? Or have you ever met someone like that little boy? Who gave away his lunch to someone else because they needed it? Have you ever been that little boy? Are you willing to be like that little boy? It's always good to recall those people who did those things for us. Because their goodness invites us into this story. When has God surprised, amazed, astonished, or delighted you in your life? What was the most recent time? What was the biggest time? What was the most significant time? See, the purpose of this story is not to tell you that you should be doing something more. I don't want you to get that message, because that's not the message. Remember, I entitled this message, Above and Beyond? I want you to understand this. That God is inviting us to an above and beyond. But it's not that we are the ones who have to do the work. He invites us to believe that He will go above and beyond. You notice the difference? He wants the disciples to recognize that they cannot feed the 10,000 or the 5,000. He knows they can't. We're told in the text of the other Gospels that He knows, that He says these things to invite them into a new understanding, to reveal something to them. And what He reveals to them is this, that God goes above and beyond. Constantly. But he also revealed to them this. That there was a little boy who was also tired and hungry. Who was willing to participate in impossible things. In the transformation of the lives of others. God asks us not only believe, but to participate in the little that we have, to offer what little we are into what He does. And God performs these miracles all the time. And that is what the feeding of the 5,000 is about. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive us if we've lost that sense of wonder, or help us if we've lost that amazement, that delight in what You do. If we have forgotten, remind us. If we've grown cold, we've grown grumpy as we're tired and hungry, renew us, Lord. Help us to remember the good that is done by little boys in our lives, or little girls, or women and men that we know, our friends, who take what little that You have given them and simply share it with others and see it multiply. Grant us the ability to live beyond ourselves, to see with Your eyes of compassion other people. Take away the very understandable self-centeredness that is in us. May You transform us and our world, that we live in the hope of Your kingdom every day. So come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. You are our delight. Amen.